Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
We may have to change that at some point. These may not be the same old Lions. One game in the books. We're off and running into the new season. How does it feel? Woo, I think it was so glorious. I think it was glorious to see football and to hear football, to feel football again on my TV for Thursday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. We'll be ushering in our very first Football Friday, and it's not just about the NFL, though, you know, NFL drives the bus, but man, there are some big games this weekend in college, notably Alabama and Texas in Tuscaloosa. So Nick Saban about that Longhorns defense coming up. We know Deion Sanders has been fired up for Colorado and Nebraska for quite a while. We are definitely jumping right in with both feet to the football season. Having been gone last weekend and feeling like it's important to take those last few days off before the NFL begins, I feel refreshed, but it's not like we're slowly ramping up. Nah, we go right into it with a bang. Might as well. There are two types of people in this world. The first kind of person who dips a toe in the water and then maybe gets down to your calves and then the water comes up to your knees and then maybe... you stand there for a little bit. You feel more comfortable. You go in up to your waist. Finally, you dip one arm in. Then you dip the other arm in. Okay. After much cajoling and a pep talk, you dive in. Well, dive. You're already halfway in. And still, it's scary. It's cold. Or you can be the other kind of person that dives off the side without any other parts of your body wet before you immerse yourself. You could do a cannonball off the high dive. You just go all in. Go big or go home, baby. Yeah, that's football. We still have time for you to join us on Survivor Island number 3, actually. We found out on Thursday morning, some of you were trying to join Survivor Island, the second pool, and it was full. How about that? That's kind of cool. Never happened before in the history of After Hours. So we have added a third island. It's on Twitter, After Hours CBS. In fact, it's pinned to the top of our Twitter page. And you just look for Jeff Probst, part of Survivor. But, you know, this is our own version of it. Third island open and available. Producer Jay told me that right away, as soon as he shared the link on Twitter, people were already joining. I know we had a little bit of a snafu there on Facebook. The link wasn't part of the initial post. However, the link is now part of the post. So if you head to our Facebook page, it's pinned there as well. We're looking for you to join us on Survivor Islands between now and Sunday. Once Sunday noon hits, essentially, noon Central Time, gosh, 10 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast, well, then you're SOL. You can't join after that. You got to be on one of the islands staking your claim, whether you're there with your drink, whether you're there with your umbrella. Don't forget your sunscreen. Just get on the island, and then we'll deal with the picks after that. You're just picking one winner each week. Don't forget to save your picks. That's important. There should be a box that pops up that indicates that you saved your pick, and if not, well, then you've missed out because you get eliminated. Now, the other cool element that you will find on our Twitter and Facebook, you can find me, A-Law Radio, or as I say, go to our Facebook page. The link to our brand new YouTube video. We posed the question, which new teams will make the playoffs after this 23 season? And so a lot of you are weighing in. Lions, definitely a popular pick. We kind of went off the beaten path with some of our picks. It's a relatively short video, not even 9 minutes. Doesn't even require 9 minutes of your time. But playoff hope springs eternal, and half the playoff field turns over every year. So now's the time. We have made our picks on record. Also, my mom reminds me when she watches my video that, yes, in fact, I do look goofy waving my hands all over the place. I remind her that it's her side of the family that's Italian. So check it out on YouTube. And also, the link is on Twitter. Whether you agree, whether you disagree, we would just love it if you'd subscribe to our YouTube channel. And actually, by we, I mean producer Jay. He would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel. We will have another video. This is my promise to you. Another video within 10 days. It's the video version of Ask Amy Anything that features all of your wedding questions. There are so many. I love that you're so nosy. Because we can't possibly keep answering them from now until the wedding. It would just be too much. I would get no sports done and we would talk about nothing else. And so for that reason, we need to put them all in one video. So the wedding version, the wedding edition. I never thought I'd say that. You guys, I never thought I'd say that. The wedding edition of Ask Amy Anything in YouTube form. That's coming up within the next 10 days. All right, so for now, you want to get yourself prepared. Check out our Welcome Back Football video, our picks for the playoffs for the new teams, right? The new teams that we think will make the playoffs this season. And we're seeing your responses too. It's kind of fun. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. My favorite is when we post the link to a video, producer Jay, and someone writes back and says, I love this photo. Like completely missing the fact that it's just a thumbnail for a video. Yeah. Completely missing the fact that the post is taking you to YouTube and it actually says, here's our latest video. No, she just thought it was a photo. It happens every single time. People are like, oh, what a cute photo. No.
Yeah, it's literally not even a photo. It's a thumbnail.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. Anyway, whatever. If that's what makes you happy. So yeah, find us on Twitter and Facebook and we will connect with you for this football weekend. You may have seen the news right before the game kicked off. I'm not sure how you could miss it. Although actually, I don't know that they addressed it right off the bat in the broadcast. May have been definitely by halftime, but it may have been something that they didn't see initially, though you would think both Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth would be, if not monitoring social media themselves, listening to producers in their ears. Right before the game started, Joe Burrow became the latest quarterback who was in line for an extension to agree to a record deal. It's just the next domino to drop. And I'm not telling you it isn't significant money. I'm not telling you it's not historical. But the history is somewhat muted and downplayed There's a bug buzzing around my head. The history, it doesn't make as great an impact when it happens every couple weeks. Which this is what this is what's happening. Joe Burrow is now the NFL's highest paid player. But before, when we're talking average annual value, but before him, it was Justin Herbert. And before him, it was Lamar Jackson, right? So we just continue to kind of see the progression of quarterback money. Jalen Hurts was in there as well. So it went Lamar, Jalen, Justin, Joe. Helps to have a name that starts with J in the NFL these days if you play QB. And Joe Burrow had told us all along that his team was on it, that there were significant conversations, that he was fine with the way the negotiations were going. He never publicly or visibly seemed stressed or anxious about it. Instead, yeah, they're working behind the scenes, talking to the front office, and even indicated the contract was the last thing in the world that he was worried about.
Hey, guys. That's how he walks into the huddle. Hey, guys.
On Wednesday, and we heard some of this in our QB news on our last show, Joe Burrow finally met with reporters for the first time since he had strained that calf muscle. Remember, injured players don't have to speak to the media, and he wasn't practicing. So for more than a month, we didn't hear from Joe Burrow. But on Wednesday, he said, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to be my whole career. We're working toward making that happen. I'm a small part of what the front office and Zach Taylor have done in their time here. I'm excited to be part of that. His average annual salary, $55 million per year. By far the highest paid player in NFL history. $219 million guaranteed. So the Bengals, they agree. Joe Burrow should stay in Cincinnati forever. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I saw a lot of reaction from Browns insiders and Browns reporters because the Browns take on the Bengals in week number one. Is that the After Hours game of the week? Now, granted, Lions and Chiefs already played. We don't include Thursday Night Football, but it's back, baby. The After Hours Game of the Week poll. Producer Jay, are we ready to go?
We are ready to go.
You want to check it out on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. It's back and better than ever. We love these polls. Oh, you're already voting. Okay, I'm a little late to the party. All right. It's always difficult, and you're really going more by name recognition and storylines, maybe even playoff positions from last year. Sometimes there's more buzz, but it's week number one where everybody is involved in every game, has some major headlines and implications. We've gone with Bengals and Browns. So AFC North matchup. A lot of you point to the AFC North as the toughest division in football. We're also going with Bills and Jets because others say the AFC East is the best division in football. Not to mention, Aaron Rodgers is wearing a different color green this year, in case you hadn't heard. The Dolphins at the Chargers would be our third AFC matchup. In week number one, looking at two teams that were in the playoffs last year and the return of Tua Tagovailoa. Can't wait to see how comfortable he is, how quickly he settles in. Tyreek Hill's stated goal is to have a 2,000-yard receiving season, which has never happened. I do know that he was extremely effective last year. He was on my fantasy team. He was headlining, dragging my fantasy team with him. And then we've got 49ers and Steelers, which is half AFC. How about that? In our first After Hours Game of the Week poll, 7 of the 8 teams come from the AFC. Do you think that's a sneak peek of what it will be like this season in the NFL, where so much of the attention is focused on the AFC? I haven't voted yet, but I gotta. It's also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good to have you with us. We're excited. Roger Goodell making some initial comments about the NFL season. Actually heard him talk about, and this is something that matters to me for a couple of different reasons. One, because it's my industry, but two, because the writer strike and the SAG-AFTRA performer strike, and that's my union, SAG-AFTRA, it is a source of constant literature and emails that are coming to my email address all the time, right? Because we're constantly getting updates on where the latest protest or demonstration is, not protest, where the latest demonstration is, the update on whether or not there have been any negotiations with the producers, the updates on outlets that actors, performers can work with versus the ones that can't, right? So I get updates every day in my email because this is my union, SAG-AFTRA, but also because it affects our business. That there are no writers now, and there are no performers. So a lot of your scripted shows, other than those that have already been recorded and edited, a lot of your scripted shows are off the schedule for this fall. And I will see whether or not that forces a sense of urgency, but what I've read is that there have been no significant talks at all. There's nothing scheduled. Now, it doesn't mean there can't be a very quick resolution and an end to the strike. But you may know that the fall TV schedules are a lot of reality TV, a lot of series that were purchased from, say, the streaming services. So some of the stuff coming from Paramount Plus to CBS or from other streaming services have been purchased. I've heard this happen with Amazon. There's a series on Amazon that it's now heading to network TV because they need some type of programming to fill their time slots, their prime time especially. I've even seen things like marathons, like NCIS marathons, the best of a favorite show. And so right now, writers and actors are not working, which means that there are no new episodes of scripted shows. But you know who else is a benefactor? Live sports, the sports leagues, because it may turn out that some of these networks are scrambling for fresh programming. And what they do is grab an extra game or two or three or four from a league that they're already in partnership with. And let's face it, if you're looking for reality TV, if you're looking for something that's entertaining and dramatic, look no further than the NFL. I say it all the time. It's the best reality TV show on the planet. So here is the NFL, according to Roger Goodell, who says, I know people say I script the season, but I don't. I wish we had that. He says there's going to be opportunities during this period of time, which is unfortunate, but it exists. Our content is going to have more opportunities during this fall season. It's reliable content, and it's reliable from an advertising standpoint. So what he's saying is the NFL, and to a lesser extent, the other pro sports leagues, the other sports content, doesn't even have to be a pro sports league, but advertisers are looking for ways to get their product and their logos and their name recognition out there. Well, more than likely, they're going to turn to something that's new, not something that's old and regurgitated. So you've got Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, though it's on Prime, and then CBS and Fox on Sundays. So Roger Goodell kind of watching what's happening around the industry and saying, yeah, the NFL is going to benefit. Our broadcast partners will benefit. our corporate sponsorships should see a bump. It'll be interesting to see how the ratings are affected too, across the board for sports. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, you can find that new poll we've got up. The very first of the season, the After Hours Game of the Week. Vote, vote, vote. Plus, you still have time to join us on Survivor Islands, because we now have three islands. You guys rock. Straight ahead, we'll hear from Roger Goodell about the NFL continuing to expand its overseas footprint and also betting, because it's not going away. In fact, the NFL is in partnership with a bunch of different sports betting outlets and even sports books like DraftKings. But then how do they manage and balance their own employees and players steering clear and avoiding that appearance of evil, if you will? Glad to have you with us. Happy Almost Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I believe that the fan base is here for a team. They're just in numbers and passion. I think the business community / commercial community is strong enough. The political support we have for this is extraordinary. So I think all of those elements are here. The one that I'm still not comfortable yet is the competitive side. And it's, you know, how do we do this to not only be fair to the team that's playing here, but the teams that have to come over here to play.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The commissioner of the NFL 4 years ago talking about possibly planting a team, sending a team across the pond to London to make it a permanent home. But how do you do it? I mean, there are still conversations about maybe relocating the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is just wrong, I think. You take away a fan base and a source of income, but a source of pride for a team, especially now that Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback and Doug Peterson is the head coach, and they've got some pretty incredible superstars, some entertaining talent, and they are the reigning division champions. And the conversation is still going on about whether or not that team should be relocated to London. But I agree with Roger Goodell. How in the world do you make it fair and balanced? And whether or not you believe the commissioner, what he's constantly talking about is that the playing field must be level. Even though there are times where it feels as though the playing field is slanted in favor of the offense, well, at least it's every offense versus every defense as opposed to one team over another. The reason that we see roughly half the playoff field turnover every year is because of the system the NFL has set up and because of their commitment to a level playing field. Again, you may not agree. I know fans who carry their own rooting interests, in some cases bias, see things through different colored lenses. But it is true that the NFL has teams catapult from worst to first every season, and that there are 6-7 new teams in the playoffs every year that didn't make it the year before. And that's because of the way the draft is set up. It's not a lottery. And also because with salary cap and free agency, with the movement, right, from team to team, coaches too, not just athletes, the deck is shuffled every year. And while you do have some teams that you expect to be there, there are lots of ebbs and flows, lots of rises and falls, lots of twists and turns. It keeps us guessing. Best reality show on TV, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Roger Goodell on NBC before the season kicked off. And once again, he was asked about the NFL possibly relocating one of its team overseas.
I don't rule out anything. I think it's possible. I think the debate we've always tried to work on, can you do it competitively and do it in a way that is going to be fair to not just that team, but every other team?
I mean, I've said over and over, I don't think it's possible. I don't think that you can do it. If you're going to move an entire division over there, that's one thing. But even then, the travel would be an unfair disadvantage for that whole division. While they might make their division games, you know, a little bit more of a level playing field, what about their cross-division games? What about their cross-conference games? I don't think you can do it. And you likely wouldn't put four teams in a division in the same country, right? Because they're not four stadiums that could accommodate an NFL team and the fans in, say, England. It's not possible. So would you be sharing venues? Or what about if you have to go cross the border? I mean, there's just a lot of different elements that you don't have to think about in the United States. Now, they certainly do have their crazy rabid fan bases for Euro leagues and their football or soccer. So they do accommodate massive sporting events. But the NFL has a very specific set of rules and, again, guidelines and boundaries for how they make it a level playing field across the board. I just don't think it can be done. But the commissioner, the NFL, they are committed to not just expanding the fan base overseas, but also soaking up more of that revenue that comes from what is a relatively untapped fan base.
We really see football as a global sport, and we're seeing that kind of reaction. We have five games in Europe this year. We expect to do more games in the future. We're looking at games around the world, and we believe this is our next big frontier, and we want to make sure that our game is shared with a global audience, and we believe every time we do, they have more and more interest in the game, and they're really sophisticated fans. You'll see it. They love the game, and the more they can get, the more they love it.
It's Roger Goodell on NBC. And obviously the other major, and I don't even think this is a huge issue that's facing NFL fans. I think it's more about the league itself trying to figure out how to expand and how to make more money by, again, tapping into these fan bases that are hungry overseas because they only get, say, 3-4 games tops. I mean, London gets more than Germany now, but you can imagine the league is going to continue to send games to other countries if they're interested in hosting. And if it turns out that they do have the security and the facilities, the resources that it requires for an NFL game. But I would say a major issue that's facing the league right now that has to be one in which they are vigilant all the time. There is a growing number of states who have legalized sports betting, and more fans are interested in betting on the NFL, which is something that the league wants to take advantage of, right? They want to be part of that revenue stream. Again, it's Roger Goodell's stated goal that the NFL would make $25 billion per year in revenue. This is why the owners keep him around as their CEO, because he's seen a major, major bump in revenue since he took over. He's overseen that. The owners are getting rich. The sponsors, the corporate partners, they're all getting rich. Every stadium that hosts a Super Bowl makes buku bucks, right? So he's good for the league when it comes to revenue, which is, of course, the bottom line. It's a business. But betting is one in which there's a slippery slope. There's always going to be this idea, this suspicion that sports leagues are, and maybe it's not the league overall, maybe it's just a team, maybe it's a player, are a little bit too close to that betting and a little bit too close to the temptation to take big money for attempting to throw a game or change the outcome of a game, which is why Roger Goodell says they never wanted betting in the first place.
It's one of the reasons we oppose legalized sports betting, because of the risk to the integrity of the game. And so that's always going to be our number one priority. When the Supreme Court overruled that, we have to be in that space. And it's actually helped us with trying to educate our fans, educate our personnel. This isn't just about players. It affects every league employee, every club employee. And so when if you're, it's pretty simple. If you bet on the NFL and you're a part of the NFL, you've got a problem. And that's not what we're going to allow to happen.
Yeah, they're not going to let this go. They're not going to change their rules. They're not going to look the other way. They're going to take a hard line stance. They are tracking the activity of players. And for me, if I was a coach or if I was a captain, I would tell my locker room, while you're playing this sport, do not bet on football. Sure, there are rules that allow you to bet on other sports, just not at the facilities. Just don't bet. Don't bet on football and don't bet at work. And if you have to, or if you can, avoid it altogether so you don't cross any of the lines, because the NFL will find out. They're paying people who are in the technology space. I've heard that it's the same as the type of employees that the CIA and the FBI, law enforcement, uses to track what athletes and what employees are doing. And actually, Marco Belletti's here in studio. My fantasy football league is run by an employee of the NFL Network. You know, Cynthia Freeland.
Mm-hmm.
She's been on the show a bunch. She's the commissioner of my league. Last year, the buy-in was $100 for our league. The NFL is cracking down to the point where they can't, they specifically, doesn't apply to me, they can't have leagues now that are more than a $10 buy-in. That's it. Because that's considered more, you know, your chump change, obviously. They don't even want TV employees participating in high-stakes fantasy games because they believe it's gray area, slippery slope.
Yeah, you know what? I have a hard time with a lot of this stuff. You want to dance with the devil and you want to make the money, then I don't want to hear it.
Right.
So, and then this is enough. This is not enough. This is what, stop. You're raking in the money. You're cashing it in. We never wanted to get involved in this. Yeah, you did. You wanted it involved because you want more money. So I don't really believe all this nonsense. Plus, as much as they're tracking and they're paying attention, look, guys are going to get suspended. Absolutely. 100%. Does everyone get suspended if they get caught gambling? My answer is going to be no. I don't believe you.
You don't think so?
I don't believe you. Not for a second. Because if one of your true faces of the game actually got caught doing this, you would find a way to brush it under the rug.
Hmm.
There is no way.
So now, you don't think Calvin Ridley was a big enough star?
Nope.
Okay.
No. Because the NFL moves on. If you had it, again, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying this hypothetical, obviously.
Okay.
You're telling me Patrick Mahomes gets busted for gambling. He gets suspended? No, he doesn't.
Oh yeah,
no, he doesn't.
But he has to, Marco.
He won't.
If Patrick Mahomes got caught gambling and they don't suspend him,
he's
actually a quarterback.
Who caught him? This is not against the law. Who caught him?
Nobody's the NFL? Against the rules of the NFL.
Right.
But you're not, you're not listening, though. If that gets out, mm-hmm, and Patrick Mahomes is caught gambling and not punished,
right,
then right away you're talking about a quarterback who, mm-hmm, can actually affect the outcome of a game.
No doubt.
Who could be in this weird space where he would be he would be under suspicion.
Sure. If they found out, I think the first thing that they would do, and this is just human nature in general, especially people with power, the first thing they do is try to deny everything and let's keep this quiet.
Hmm.
And I think that would be exactly what they would do. They want to show you guys like Calvin Ridley and some of the others that have been busted, look, we're taking this seriously. And I think they want to take it seriously. However, when push comes to shove and it's money, I don't believe you.
Hmm. All right.
Because again, everything they do is they show it's money. We want the safety of our players. Everyone plays on Thursday. We want the safety of our players. We're going to make you travel all the way to Germany to play again. They don't care. When it comes to money, they don't care.
All right. When it comes to money, you don't need any for our survivor pool. And I know earlier on Facebook, we posted a picture of the third island. It wasn't there. The link is there now. And so it's easy. You just open it up. If you're not already registered with a CBS Sports email and password, you just set one up. There is a third island. Some of you are telling me I don't get it. Well, the link wasn't there earlier. Like I said, it is now. So check it out on both Twitter and Facebook. It's pinned to the top of each of those pages. And we've got our brand new poll up. First time this season. The After Hours Game of the Week. Vote, 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 vote. Actually, this is a tough one. I'm not really sure. I always vote for the game that's the least popular, though. I know that.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mahova from the far baseline after that 40 shot exchange. Match point number six. The forehand return from Goff. Mahova to her right with cross court forehand. Forehand middle from Goff. Now a forehand Mahova hitting into that Goff forehand wing. Backhand cross court. Long Mahova. And the summer of Coco culminates with the 19-year-old in the U.S. Open final.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Right about halftime of Thursday Night Football, Coco Goff prevails in what was a definite tug of war in her semifinal at the U.S. Open, and it didn't just feature tennis. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Did you all see on social media or maybe the photos online? There were multiple protesters of fossil fuel use who were in the upper deck at the U.S. Open. So the Arthur Ashe Stadium court, they're way up in the upper deck. I'm sure they paid triple digits for those tickets. And they start making this huge commotion early in the second set. They won't be quiet. Now, if you've never been to a tennis match, you're not supposed to be making noise when the ball is in play. Or even when a player steps up to the baseline to serve, you're supposed to be quiet, and you can get thrown out if you're not. So these protesters start making a ton of noise, and they have to halt play. But come to find out, it's not just a bunch of protesters who are yelling and wearing funky t-shirts. No, there's a guy who has glued his bare feet to the concrete at his seat in the upper deck. And so it took nearly an hour for them to get his feet unstuck from the concrete at the U.S. Open. All right, that's disgusting. I'm not sure if you've ever, even if you haven't been to the U.S. Open or a stadium, would you walk around any stadium where they've been playing events for 2 weeks? Even though they do clean it. I mean, come on, think about the traffic in there and the stuff that's been dropped. Very often it's sticky because people have spilled drinks. Ew.
Think about how hot it's been in the New York area lately.
Yeah, bizarre. And so for Coco Gauff, as she's trying to get into her first U.S. Open final, so the first opportunity for her to win this championship on U.S. soil against Carolina Muchova, she and Mahova both have to end up back in the locker room. It was an extended break right in the early stages of the second set. So kind of crazy. And yet, I guess if what the protesters wanted was a bunch of attention, that they got. But how do you reset after you go for nearly an hour in the middle of your match?
It was a bit challenging because, you know, it's not like a typical delay. So we didn't know how long it was going to take. We were talking to the supervisor and security, and you know, they could say it could be as quick as 5 minutes or as long as an hour. So it was tough to figure out how, if we stay warm or keep conserve energy. I, you know, after like 10 minutes of waiting off the inside, I decided to change my clothes and eat a bar. But you know, it's life, it happens. And so I was just trying my best to keep the momentum that I had going from winning the first set in the first game.
Yeah, and she absolutely did. She was on a roll. Now, the match definitely slowed down, and Mahova put up a fight toward the end. I'm not sure if you watched any of this. Again, it was taking place during Thursday Night Football. But they got to the end of the second set, and they were headed for a tiebreak because every time Coco Gauff had a match point, her first five were erased by Mahova. And there was one game, it was this, one point, the second to last point of the match 40 strokes. So 20 each for Mahova and for Coco Gauff. Some incredible shot making. Not to mention the fitness and the focus that was required to keep that ball in play. You're on the move for 40 strokes. I was really impressed with how she closed out and the fact that ultimately, even though Mahova put up a huge fight in the second set, Coco was able to dial down deep.
It was a tough match. You know, I had leads, lost it, and, you know, serving for it. So it was a lot of emotional, I guess, challenges in the match. But I think I did a good job of staying focused, and I'm just really proud of myself today.
If you've heard anything from Coco Gauff over the course of this tournament, you know that she credits her mental toughness with what's been a, you know, a kind of pre-run-up, a series of hard court tournaments, including Cincinnati, where she won, that she's needed to get to this point to kind of help with her mental toughness, because she's been on the road, because she's played a bunch of tournaments in a row. And now here she is at 19 years old. She's into another Grand Slam final. Now, she last appeared in the French Open final in 22, but this is her first one in New York, and she's never won a major championship. So congratulations to Coco Gauff at 19 years old. She is into the U.S. Open final, and they will play Saturday at 4 o'clock New York time, right before, theoretically, Texas and Alabama kick off at 6 o'clock Central time in Tuscaloosa. She will not face Madison Keys. So Madison ends up falling in the second semifinal after winning the first set 6-0. Instead, Coco is the lone U.S. hope. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Guys, it's no secret that classic dress shirts suck. That's why our friends at And Collar created something different. No more tight collars, loose fabric, or stubborn stains. Just outrageously comfortable shirts that are breathable, stain-resistant, and perfect for all occasions. Blending the comfort of athletic wear with the style of dress shirts, you'll never feel better being dressed up. Discover their versatile collection at andcollar.com and save 20% with code RADIO. Shop shirts and more at andcollar.com. Discount code available for a limited time. Terms and conditions apply.
Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs are the landscaping plants that have been trialed and tested by expert horticulturists to ensure your success. Whether you're looking for the hottest hydrangea, a reblooming rose, or an elegant evergreen, you can count on the shrubs in the white containers for easy care curb appeal for years to come. There's still plenty of time to improve your landscape this season, so head to your favorite local garden center and ask for Proven Winners Color Choice Flowering Shrubs.
This receiver trio is just is scary, and it does start with Scary Terry himself there. He's good, man. And I it's just, can we get normal quarterback play for this guy
for
once in his career? Because you're right. I mean, yeah, no shade to ODU's finest Taylor Heinicke, but he was literally a backup quarterback in the XFL. And he's probably the best player that Washington has rolled out at quarterback in Terry's, you know, career.
Subscribe to Reception Perception, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.